The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we are grateful for being always in your presence. Lord, we love your presence. We thank you for what you have done in our community. You have brought so much light. You have brought so much deliverance, so much change. We appreciate the work you are doing in this particular community, this house. We thank you for the liberty that grace has brought through the revelation of Jesus. We thank you for raising men. We thank you for transformation. We thank you for love. We can see it in the hair. See it amidst the brethren. We give you thanks. Lord, we are gathered in this meeting because we want more. We are not satisfied. All that we want is to be all that you have ordained for man. And Lord, we are in a great pursuit of faith. We are in a great pursuit in the domains of righteousness until we attain all of your promises. And so, Father, we ask that you instruct us through your Son tonight. Let your grace be evidently abundant, bringing forth revelations of righteousness, instructing our hearts in your grace, causing us to see clearly that we might walk in the path of life. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, and the people of God says,
We are coming. Prepare your people for us. We are coming. Raise lively stones for us. Amen. We are coming.
Yes.
The living stone is coming. It's coming for a people. Prepare them. For the prosperity of life everlasting is tied powerfully even to this estate. If everlasting life ever will prosper, if our life will ever prosper, you must prepare a people. You must raise a people prepared for our coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming to a generation. Jesus will be seen again. Prepare people. Make them ready. See, we are going to see it upon them as a refiner fire. Yes. As a refiner fire and a purifier of silver. Yes. We want to purify silver. And they may come into cutting covenant with us. A people must be ready. For it's a twofold operation.
Amen.
It's a twofold operation. It's an operation of day that will come into the most holy. It's a new and the living way operation. Raise a people that can go through the veil. well. Raise singles. Raise men who are single-hearted to go through the veil. To go through the veil. Celebrate a feast among my people. Let them come into the celebration of a feast of day that will go through the veil and come into the life behind the veil. Amen. That will come into the life behind the veil. Say the Spirit.
Can we all say amen? Wait. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 5. Charity is a major landmark in the world of Christ because it's what causes a soul to appear in the radar of God. Can we say amen? It is a transition point into the world of everlasting righteousness, and it is a condition. It is a condition that makes God choose souls that he can cut covenant with. So charity describes the beginning of the world of God's love. Can we say amen? So charity ends the dominion of Christ and begins the dominion of the Father. So it's a very important landmark in the kingdom. It's something that we must attain as a community to command the blessing, for the commandment of the blessing of life everlasting to be visible and tangible in our midst. There was a time in church that I just separated meetings. After prayer and on Tuesday, I teach majorly on Christ unto charity. I did that for, there was a particular time I dwelt on brethren love for a while, then moved a little bit because, you know, it's brotherly love. Second Peter, let us just go. Brotherly love unto charity. Can we say amen? We'll do brotherly love well until we'll arrive in charity. Can we all say amen? It's not easy to divide these things, but we have to divide them. God must give us skill. We are in the season when they want to work these things out in our midst with clarity, with precision. We're in a season where God is giving us skill. Can we say amen? I'm more particular about how. How God will grant us entrance, not just one, not just two, not just three, not just four, a whole flock flourishing and prospering in charity. Can we say amen? How many of you know that it's church? They are calling, not just individuals, they are calling churches, companies, a people into the world of God. They want to move brethren, brethren that have flourished in charity of Christ into the world of everlasting righteousness. So God is really, really particular that we flourish here. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Glory to God. So it's important that we recover faith, because you can't arrive unto charity without the powers of faith. So, in the world of Christ, there are powers. What did I say? Those powers are to move you into charity zone. Charity is a dominion that climaxes the formation of Christ in a soul. So, until a soul arrives in charity, that soul has not exerted full dominance in the terrain of Christ. You wouldn't have said that you have landed well. When you say you have landed well, you have arrived at a state where you can exert a measure of dominion. How many of you know that all of the mysteries of the kingdom, from the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the Father and God, they all have their stratas of dominion. So dominion starts from Christ. Can we say amen? What did I say dominion starts from? So when you say the first dominion man is a charity man. Charity is the beginning of the dominion of God. Can we say amen? So all we see in 1 Corinthians 13 is not what we do. It is what we live out. It is the lifestyle of a man reigning in Christ. It's a man reigning in Christ. However, there are powers So when you open the world of Christ, there are powers that push you from place to place, from terrain to terrain. They work things of Christ in you to bring you to a place where you can now excel in charity. Can we say amen? I can hear you say amen. So let's see Romans 5. Because without recovering the faith, we cannot understand charity. Charity is an expression of the faith of Christ. Charity is the interpretation of the faith of Christ. Charity is what really interprets the essence of faith. So when faith, obedience to the faith of Christ, does not reach charity, it is not really understood. So until I arrive in charity, faith is not properly interpreted. So I can say a man of charity is a witness of the faith of Christ. A man of charity is a man witnessing to the reason why Christ's faith is taught. Faith should point to charity. Faith should end in charity. Faith always leads to charity. Can we say amen? So when you begin faith and you don't learn end in charity, there is a problem wrong. There's a problem wrong along the way, because that is where faith will always bring you into the world of charity. Can we all say amen? So in the world of Christ, the word, you know, you also have the word of Christ and the law of Christ. Can we say amen? Like we have it in the world of the Father, we also have it in the world of Christ. So everybody say word of Christ. Say law of Christ. Let's say it again. Say word of Christ. Say law of Christ. So the word of Christ is the first power in the dominion of Christ. When I say word of Christ is a power. Because actually the whole gospel of Christ is a power. It's a package or capsule of power for a soul to be able to yield to salvation. So charity itself is a reservoir of power. Because no one can really respond to the Father except he is established in that domain called charity. You cannot yield to his laws. You cannot understand the Father. You cannot walk with the Father. You cannot journey in the world of the Father without finding yourself in the world of charity. Can we say amen? So charity itself is a reservoir of power. So that charity man, in your Darani, all you see in 1 Corinthians 13 are powers. There's one communion there, I used to say I have many powers. You know what I'm talking about? But I just want to bring something out from that joke, amen? Because it's a joke, I have many powers. So when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, you see powers. You see all those things, they are mixture of spirits. I call it a reservoir of power. Workings of power. So the whole gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, but inside it, there are powers. So like I said, the word of Christ is the first power. Then they will now bring you into the law of Christ. The essence of the law of Christ is to generate a covenant that can bind you to a nature. Can we all say amen? Without covenant, you cannot exercise dominion in a nature. Nature are promises of God. What God promised man is nature. What did I say God promised man? Well, I mean nature himself. That's what promises. So all the promises of God, they are natures. So Christ is a nature. He's a person. The Father is a nature. He's a person. They are promises of life. Can we all say amen? But there are powers that bring you to cut covenant with a nature or a promise of life.
So faith, hope, then charity, there are powers of making. They are making powers. You know, church, the general church doesn't understand that when you say power, power is not just for demonstration of things in the world that is visible. A power is more stronger when it is more invisible. The strength of a power is not known when it works externally on it. The more hidden a power marks, the more powerful it is. So Christ is an array of powers. Faith is power. It's power to pick a soul from a configuration and begin to dismantle that configuration. It's a gradual walking. Faith of Christ is a power. Hope of Christ is another level of power that further separates a soul from your former configuration. Can we say amen? Charity is actual. When we say Christ, when we say Christ, Gongo, the law of Christ is summed up in charity. So the charity starts as a law, but charity is beyond the law. Charity is actually life. So, but before they give you the law of charity, they must break certain, they must break certain formation, arrangements. Can we say amen? Those are what the powers of faith and the hope of Christ does. They dismantle certain frames. They are frame disability, they disable frame formation. It's like you have been caked with the formation of flesh. You see, flesh is a construct of negative power by spirits in the air, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. They are all spirits that design the flesh. So the flesh is a negative power against a soul that wants to find God. Hallelujah. So Christ's power knows how to break down formation of flesh. So Christ's power is a kind of a wisdom that can dismantle a configuration called flesh. So flesh is a way of life. It is a wisdom that as woman and as taking man far away from the promise of God's life. There's only one thing that God really promised man, and that is what? Life eternal. That is his raw promise to man. However, it is a long journey. Can we say amen? That is why arriving at charity is a major landmark. It is in charity that you can hope for glory. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When in Christ, that is Christ, the new man. Putting on charity, a soul can hope to partake of divine nature. Can we shout hallelujah? Glory to God. So we must be able to understand the path to charity and walk the path to charity so that we are not discouraged. Say, this charity thing looks as if it's not hard. There is a formula into it. There is a path to it. There is a science into it. Meaning there is a wisdom that can guide the soul from flesh to spirit. Charity is the beginning of spirit. But that's exactly how God originally made man. Yeah. So wicked forces put man outside of spirit configuration and made him flesh. So what is contained in the mystery of Christ is the wisdom to deflesh a soul. To deflesh a soul and make a soul spirit. Meaning it has their properties. It has the machinery of responding to God. Glory to God. I can't hear you say amen. Let's see Romans chapter 5. Actually, the wisdom of the New Testament, what is inside the New Testament, or let me start, what is inside the faith of Christ? The faith of Christ is a wisdom of turning a man from flesh to becoming spirit. It is a wisdom, and it's an exact wisdom, meaning there are properties in it that will be worked stage after stage. You know, at times when we think about this thing, we wonder how can we become this thing? But there is a part in the spirit. There is an exact part in the spirit. If you walk that part, you will change. Oh, you are not saying amen. You cannot walk some part. There are things that I know. You know, you can't describe this thing when you use them. The more you use them, the more you understand them. You know that the change is certain. When you yield yourself to revelations of righteousness, because what is contained in Christ is revelation of what? Righteousness. Can we shout righteousness? Oh, we are not saying righteousness. So it is righteousness that is revealed from stage to stage. So faith is righteousness. Hope is righteousness. Charity is righteousness. So, can we all say amen?
Amen?
What Christ brings to us is righteousness. The grace of Christ is a reservoir of righteousness. Grace of Christ is a womb of righteousness. Can we say amen? Righteousness has a spectrum. It has a cycle. Righteousness cycle is from faith to love. So you can know when you are on the path of righteousness. I say, how do I know? Your faith, when you begin to obey faith of Christ, your understanding of Christ's life increases. Can we say amen? Your understanding increases. Your configuration changes. Because before Christ becomes life that you lay hold by covenant, Christ is first an hope that is preached. So that is it. So this charity for some people is hope. Hope to become a charity man. It looks strange, but that is where it begins. Hope will be first preached. Can we say amen? Hope are wombs of promises. So, Christ is an hope. Pastor Alfred, Christ is an hope to some people. The Father is another hope. You know, I found out that when you finish the cycle of the righteousness of Christ, a new hope is born. Because hope that is seen is no longer hope. So, at a particular stage, Christ is hope. Then after a while, the Father becomes hope. Oh, nobody saying amen. So any hope I've handled is no longer hope to me. So, but hope is first preached. Faith is born when hope is believed. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for. We use that thing for word of faith. It's actually for salvation. It's Hebrews 11. All right, it's salvation. When you read Hebrews 10, you know what I'm talking about? Now, faith is. He started talking about soul salvation. So even though we use it for basic faith, it was just, in his original context, it's for salvation of the soul. Can we, so faith is born when hope is believed in. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So how do I know if it's substances of righteousness are moved into my heart? Consistent revelation of righteousness of Christ. So I begin to understand Christ's life more. Substance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. An evidence of things not seen. So when faith is born and faith is walked in, faith grows. By faith, I mean life begins to grow. Faith flourishes. I'm talking about faith of Christ. Flourishes by obedience to righteousness. Obedience to the instructions of righteousness. And how do I get faith? By hearing. For faith cometh by? And hearing by? You know, we have used those things with milk so much. We think that they are milk scriptures. Thank God. But they are actually, they are Christ's scriptures. I'm showing you the wisdom. So, as faith increases, life increases. Then hope gets stronger. So, when I'm obeying faith, hope goes from a promise preached to me to a life that I'm holding. Can we say amen? You begin to rejoice in hope. Hallelujah! Because hope is also a separating power. It's a power that separates. It's a power that purifies. Hope makes you come into a clearer picture of the destination. So hope flourishes when faith is obeyed. Can we all say amen? What did I say, brethren? Hope flourishes when faith is obeyed. Now let's go back to Romans 5. Let me show you a connection here. You know, Paul began teaching this from chapter 4 when he was referring to Abraham. Abraham, he used Abraham's life as a means of projecting a system of faith that arrives in peace. Let's go to chapter 5. Can we all shout amen? So tell your neighbor, say you can enter charity. It's a precise science in the spirit. It's a journey. We journey onto charity. There's no magic. You can't magic yourself inside charity. You'll have to walk in the spirit. You have to walk until you arrive there. Then after you arrive there, you will live there for a while and learn the way of life. So even in the world of Christ, there's a charity zone. When you get there, you have to live there and understand the conversation of that realm. After a while, it becomes your world. So we must be keen about walking. Can we say amen? Can we shout walking? Walk. I notice that walk in the spirit, walk in the epistles, there are over 50 verses. It's apostolic technology of making progress in the world of God, starting from the world of Christ. You cannot enter any domain of God without walking. You can't pray yourself into charity. You can only pray to do commandment to enter charity. Can we say amen? Amen. Walk is a technology of obeying revealed righteousness from faith to faith until it climaxes in a dominion. So I cannot be said that I've put on charity until I have crucified the old man. Any wisdom that does not crucify the flesh is not Christ. The only thing Christ knows how to do is to crucify the old man. Can we say amen? Can we shout amen? Are you with me? Amen. So look at it. And they that are Christ. I like this. I mean, do we have English people in the house? So it's not everybody that are Christ. This is a possessive. Is it pronoun or noun? Who is an English teacher here? Oh, I forgot it. We have a professor here. All of them. So, Pastor, what is this? This is a possessive pronoun. So, they that are Christ. They that are Christ. It means they that are put on Christ. Chapter 3, verse 24. Actually, the epistle of Galatians is more of a Christ epistle. It's more of a Christ epistle. 27. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have what? So it means the powers of Christ, they are baptism powers. Faith is a baptizer. Hope is a baptizer. Charity is the finishing of baptizing. The word baptism is from the Greek word baptizo. It means to fully immerse. So this is not, they don't baptize your spirit. The spirit was dead, they quicken it. So this is soul. It's soul that they baptize. So to baptize the soul is to immerse the soul in a wisdom of life. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. Now let me remind you again, the purpose of faith of Christ is to arrive at charity. The essence of faith, the project faith is what? Project charity. Why faith was given was for the soul to arrive at charity. so that the soul can begin to respond to God. Huh? So, for as many of you that have been baptized into Christ, have what? Put on Christ. Can we shout put on Christ? Say it again, no? So, to put on Christ is to put on charity. Because charity is the fulfillment of the law of Christ. Charity is the prophecy of Christ. So a man in charity is a prophet. When you're obeying faith, you are serving the law of Christ. You are serving in the domain of Christ. But the end of service is that you prophesy. Glory to God. Meaning you must put on Christ. It's possible for you to start serving in the domain of Christ and you don't end in charity. It's possible for faith to be what? Aborted. So that's what they say. James was one teaching us. He said, let patience have what? So, because patience is what perfects faith. Patience is what perfects faith. That is why it's true faith and patience you hold on promise. So patience is actually a character of faith. You can't say you have faith without patience. Patience is what sustains faith obedience. I can begin obedience. Amen. I don't know why. Are you following me? What is faith? Faith is obedience to righteousness. Really, that's a simple definition of faith. What is patience? Keep obeying righteousness until righteousness gives you life. So faith is perfected by patience. So without faith and patience, you can't hold on any promise of life. You know, Kenneth Copeland said, he said, faith opens the door, patience keeps the door open. Because you can open the door and lock it yourself. Glory to God. Can we shout amen? All right? I just want to show you how you can walk in the Spirit. Obey commandments till you arrive at charity. Can we say amen? Actually, you know, one thing I've observed in my own personal walk with God, at different stages of your walk, when you know that your world has changed, is by your commandments. They start giving you new set of commandments. So when you enter the world of charity, they start giving you charity conversation as commandments first. All right? So they'll start giving you as commandments. All those configurations that make up charity, they start giving you as commandments. But they can't give you charity as commandment until water of faith and water of hope has washed you. So faith and hope of Christ, they are the water of Christ or the word of Christ. Charity is the law of Christ that will give you charity as life. Can we say amen? Because it's only a washed soul that they can give commandment of charity to. You cannot obey the commandment of charity if they are not purified you. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go there. Amen. Sin. Present continuous. Glory to God. Sin. Ye are purified. So many of these churches, they have purified their souls. When you check the beginning of this epistle, you can see that there were many of them were churches, they were lively stone churches. Many of them had even come into the region of the living God. So there are churches that have obeyed Christ well. He said, ye as lively stones. They have become, they have mounted up as Zion. And the Son of God was appearing to them as a living stone. Does the Son of God will not come to them as a living stone if they are not what? Lively stones. You can't become lively stones if you have not been purified. You can't become lively stones if you are not what? Obeying charity as a commandment. And you are not just obeying, you are doing it fervently. Because it's fervent charity that pulls the Son of God. Glory to God. But there's a saying that you have purified your souls in obeying present continuous. The truth. Everybody say the truth. Can we say amen? Through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See, that you what? Love one another. So if you're not purified, you can't keep this commandment. It will be hard for you to love one another with a pure heart. That's everybody say pure heart. So we understand that word has purified you. The purpose of the word of Christ, which is the word of faith and the word of hope. Hope, faith, they are word. They are like water. When they purify your heart, they make the heart ready for the law of charity. Ezekiel called it new spirit. Let's go there. Ezekiel 36. You can walk this thing. Can we say amen? And I can tell you, they run it parallel. It's a gradual program. It's not at once they remove the stony out of flesh. I know that somewhere, I won't say I have full charity, but I have charity in a measure. I won't lie. If I say I don't have some of these charity laws, I'll be denying what Jesus has done. I make my boast in the Lord, but I know that it's later now I understand that they gradually, the way the Lord painted to me is a progressive reaction. So it is happening daily. It's not at once you become a charity person fully. Like at once. So what you'll be seeing is that some things are increasing while others are decreasing. It's a gradual process. And that's why you must understand the mechanics and commit yourself to it daily. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. All right, so look at from verse 24. These are the prophets explaining the journey into being made a charity soul. He says, for I will take you from among the heathen, gather you from among all countries, and bring you into your own land. Can we say amen? So, Christ is what gathers us. We have been scattered. So, we have been scattered into many. These are countries of the world. I'm not talking about, these are not physical countries. They are countries in the spirit. Can we all say amen? And now says, then I will what? Sprinkle clean water. Look at, everybody say clean water. So this is word. Washing of the water by the word. So water is word. Can we say amen? Word is higher than knowledge. Because at times when you have knowledge, knowledge begins a certain way, but you need to enter into water. Water is understanding. Can we shout understanding? It is understanding that really purifies the heart. Can we say amen? When there is no understanding at times, it's very difficult. But we need knowledge first. Because knowledge is spiritual theory. So there's knowledge is necessary. It is the base of knowledge that they move the heart into understanding. And that is where prayer comes in. When they give you knowledge, you are supposed to pray with knowledge. That is the purpose of prayer. Prayer is part of it. Prayer helps to speed up the reaction. It's like a catalyst that helps speed up the reaction of transition from knowledge to understanding. That's why it's very important that we pray according to the wisdom in the epistles, because they generate spiritual power for your transformation. Can we say amen? Prayer is useless if you are not changing. Because the purpose of prayer is to generate power. Power sufficient for your change. So when knowledge is given, knowledge should call for prayers. That is why we pray. We should pray with knowledge. Not pray, you know, you can pray in blindness. If you like, pray for 12 hours. But when knowledge comes, knowledge causes prayer to be sound. And when prayer is sound, prayer can generate what? Power. Open understanding. So when understanding is accessed, understanding is a cleansing reagent. There's no way. When you have understanding, you change. You don't beg people to change. You open the eyes of their understanding. It is an understanding that keeps us, negative understanding that keeps us in darkness. The reason why you are keeping that darkness now is because understanding has not dawned. Why you are comfortable in malice is because you don't have understanding. Why you are comfortable with envy and jealousy is because understanding is not sufficient. When understanding does, you are irritated by some things. Some things that you did comfortably, you can't do it anymore. Because light has come. Glory to God. So understanding is water that cleanses the soul from your former filthiness. Things that you were comfortable that even called yourself. This is me. It's understanding that shows you that that is not you. Understanding begins to reveal your true identity. Can we say amen? Oh, can we shout glory?
Glory!
So understanding is tied to life. Give me understanding and I shall live. So that's why your greatest prayer is to pray for what? Understanding. Glory to God.
Rendo brukototo iliat iliat membo kosa eliele obombo kost liapa papu jemjebo yash meb olko.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for I am showing you the path. I'm showing you the path to acquire the nature, to take on the nature, to put on the nature. For you must pay attention to knowledge. You must give yourself to knowledge. For out of the abundance of knowledge, you will begin to desire understanding. You will begin to come into understanding.
Yeah.
For it's in understanding that you truly live.
Yes.
You truly live when you come into understanding. But precept must be upon precept. And line then will fall upon the precept.
Yes.
For if you are not sound in knowledge, oh, you won't pray right. You won't have the right prayer to pray. For when you have knowledge, you can pray right. You can desire right. You can ask right. And then understanding can be granted unto you. In this season, we are opening unto you the feast of understanding. It's the feast of understanding. For a people can live by understanding. And it is the pleasure of the Father to give you understanding. He can give you understanding. He can open your eyes of understanding. He can grant you access even into this life, into this discussion. You can come into understanding of reading the life and coming into even the nature of the life. You can have it. You can have it. It is our desire that you come into understanding. So wait on us. Desire to wait on us. Wait on us. Wait on our knowledge. Follow it. Follow it. Learn it. Learn it. Learn it. When you are taught, learn it. Learn it. And come into understanding of the life. That is how you are changed. See the Spirit.
Can we all say amen? Hallelujah. So I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean, or you shall be pure. Huh? You shall be pure. It says, a new heart will I what? Will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Can we say amen? So another word for new heart is pure heart. Can we say amen? Yeah, that is pure. So I need to obey faith. Eh? Yield myself to faith of Christ. For my heart to be pure. Faith climax in hope. My heart will now be pure. You will know. How do you know that your heart is pure? Your heart becomes innocent of evil. So, but yet, you don't still have the law yet, but your heart has been purged. So, you can have done the thing, but you will quickly recall yourself, because that heart has come into a new estate of being pure. So you can't go for weeks and do malice. How you know a pure heart is? A pure heart is a child. So when you do malice, you quickly come out of it. Anything you say for a long time, you have not been purged from it yet. That's how you know. So it's like you're a child. That's what it means. So when your heart is pure, in fact, there are certain thoughts that immediately they move through that pure heart, you will quickly pick it. Because that heart has been cleansed for something. So when the enemy brings thoughts that are strange to that estate, there's immediately an alert. And there are forces within you working to expel it away. You know, there are some people that there are some things that are just natural with them. Bitterness can be natural with you. Somebody will say, told me, say one time, he says, I don't forgive easily. You know that that soul is held bound by darkness. Glory to God. But a time can come where forgiveness becomes what? Next to your nature. Because you have been pushed. Can we say amen? You have been pushed. Naturally, I don't know how to really keep malice like that. It affects even me physically. I will not be able to do things normally. You know, keeping malice with someone, having negative energy in your heart towards someone, it affects the body. It affects my own body. So maybe because of that, I quickly want to expunge it out. It's a strange law. Once the law enters your system, you know. Because at times, it even physically affects your body. When you are holding some kind of energies, when they have purified your heart, how you know is that when that thing enters, you can even feel it. You can feel it in your soul that there's something alien inside the air. You'll not be able to sleep. That's how you know that you have been purged from that. You can't sleep. So, you know, maybe you fought somebody over the night and maybe energies of hatred were there and you could not deal with it. You will find it difficult to sleep in the night. You'll be doing tussle and turn because you're a child. That heart is pure. In the morning, the first thing you'll be thinking of is to quickly expunge that. If you need to call that person, forget what happened yesterday night. I've forgotten about it. I've forgiven. You will always, you cannot stay in that thing. That heart is pure. So after you have a pure heart, they now want to solidify it. They want to make a pure heart. They want to upgrade that pure heart. The pure heart is actually a new heart. It's an heart of a child. But it is not, that heart has not been sealed yet. So they want to make that state a permanent state. The Lord says, we'll not give you a new spirit. Can we shout new spirit? So this new spirit is the new law. It's actually charity. They will give you as a law. It says, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away. So that taking away of the stony heart out of your flesh is a gradual process. What is a stony heart? A heart that does not quickly respond to God, to the living God. That heart has not become fully lively. Huh? I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you what? An heart of flesh. So, new heart plus new spirit equals heart of flesh. So it's a progressive thing. So this is how the Lord painted to me. The more you obey the law of charity after you have been purged by the word of Christ, which is the word of faith and hope. Can we say amen? As you're obeying the law of charity, they gradually begin to change that heart. It's just like, is it titration? You know, they say drop that in and they begin to swell. Are you following me? As you are swelling, you are seeing changes. It is the more you obey the law of Christ that you begin to see your heart change. Can we shout amen? Amen. From a new heart to what? An heart of flesh. So this heart of flesh is a charity heart. It's a heart that can what? Deal with God. This heart is a tablet that the living God can write on. So the purpose of charity is to give God a tablet to write on. God wants to cut covenant with man. God can only cut covenant on tablets. You know? So charity is what makes you give God a tablet to write on. How many of you know that God in the Old Testament, are you with me? Wrote on stones. So charity is a kind of a stone. It's called precious cornerstone. Isaiah 28. It's a kind of stone that God can write on. If God wrote on tablets of stone, commandments, and out of that came forth glory. What they are telling you is that charity becomes a tablet that the living God will begin to write his laws on. Can we say amen? So where is the living God? The living God is a house of the true God. The living God is the body of the true God. The true God is the inner life of the living God. So it's his charity foundation. Living God on charity. Then true God inside living God. That's how they are building you up. Can we shout amen? Amen. From charity is a world of love. The world of God is a world of fervent love. Fervent charity. Can we say amen? Amen. That zone, they know they play with commandment of charity. When you enter the world of John, for instance, they don't play with small hatred for your brethren. The law there quickly alerts it. This is a strange law. Because in the world of God is a world of love. For God is love. From beginning to end, there are love commandments. So charity is the energy to relate with the world of God. It's the power to be able to conceive the way of God. Glory to God. Now, let's go to Romans 5. So we, therefore, being justified by faith, revelation of the righteousness of Christ, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. Now, they are talking to the soul. Everybody say peace. Peace is a dominion of righteousness in the kingdom. It's a state. So, a soul in charity is a soul at peace with God. What did I say, sir? I like the word. It says, we have peace. We have peace with God. So, I can have peace. As an what? As an inheritance in the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I can have righteousness, which is life. I can also have peace, which is also life. Can we say amen? Then I can move into the world of joy, which is abundance of life. Glory to God. Can we shout amen? So we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2. By whom we have what? Access by faith. You can say, everybody say by faith. So I cannot access charity outside the faith of Christ. It is by the revelation and obedience to faith of Christ that I have access into, by whom we have access by faith into this grace. So Pastor James, charity is a grace. It's a reservoir of power. He says, into this grace. Which is peace, which is charity, wherein we stand. I like that. We stand. This is standing at the veil. This is ready to port into God. Wherein we stand. Psalm 134. Bless the Lord, O ye servants of the Lord. We stand by night in the house of God. So they are standing by grace. It's a power that makes them stand. This is a building. It's a formation of peace. Laws of charity prospering in the soul. So that's why I say charity is a congregation of power. Charity makes you stand to be able to rejoice. Rejoice in what? It's not rejoice in getting a car. It's not rejoice in marriage. It's not rejoicing anything that this world can give. It's rejoicing that you can be what? Partakers of the divine nature. You can now rejoice in hope. So this is another hope. Initially, Christ as charity was your first hope. But now by faith you have accessed charity. Now I can stand rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Can we shout glory of God? So this is the incorruptible inheritance as your life. So charity gives you breakthrough in understanding in the world of God. Now I can begin to comprehend my true calling as a man. Because the first man was put in the world of God. Charity is what closes the gap between flesh and the garden. The first man was a garden man. Charity, so all those laws unto charity, they just close the gap. So now I know that Adam was a charity man. Can you imagine? Don't play with that man, sir. They were charity beings. They had to now grow. You know, how many of you know that charity does not end the dominion of Christ? Pastor Alfred, charity also grows more fervent. So there is charity in the world of the Father. Charity enters into eternal life. Eternal life is the origin of charity. The Godhead, they are the first beings in charity. What they have in their midst is eternal charity. Because charity is love displayed among brethren. So the first brethren are the Godhead. So they are the origin of charity. So you can see they are stepping down charity. I even believe, sir, that there's charity, a type of it in the Holy Ghost. Hey, Acts chapter 4 verse 32. So you have to be ghosted, sir. You begin by being ghosted. The Holy Ghost, there's a kind of... So, love of all saints is the charity in the Holy Ghost. Because what Ephesians 1 verse 15 calls love of all saints, Colossians 1 8 calls of your love in the Spirit. So, they are saying that love of the saints is what elevates you into the Spirit. So, now you are in the Spirit. Paul says now, Colossian church, you are in the Spirit. So, your charity describes your love. Let me explain that. Your charity with your brethren is a measure of your love and response to God. And this is the principle. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If I have not loved my brother that I have seen, how will I love the God that I have not seen? So that's how they use it. So they use charity to prep you for response to God. So you can't say you love Christ. Charity is the proof that you can love Christ. So all these things, they are not just in everlasting world. They are in word of Christ, they are in word of Holy Ghost. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Let me just show you Holy Ghost a little bit. Because you need to understand this thing. So they prep us up. Even from Holy Ghost, they will teach you to love. I remember that love training for me began with milk. Love. I learned to share my things. When I was a student, I learned to share my things. I had a little bit of privilege, you know, to have parents that gave me extra things when I went to school. But God began giving me commandment to share. So my room was a room of access. Guys will come to my room, sleep there, take my provisions, man. At times, I'll be in school, I will see my shirt walking. Ah! Go be my shirt, be that! I know that is my shirt. So I remember then, out of all the brethren were living in the hostel together, I hired the lion's share. So, but then God was teaching us about New Testament authentic community. So I will bring that 5,000 and drop it. That was big money then. 5,000 was big money then. Omodoki. So 5,000 was big money then. So I had some that had one, but God trained me. Some will bring 1,000, some will bring 500. So one will now drop it into what we call it CBK, Central Bank of the Kingdom. So once that 5,000 enters the bank, I lose connection with the 5,000. It's no longer my own. I begin to live on what is available. So I learned to share. Commandment of sharing. Commandment of giving. So all those things. Even before so much revelation of Christ. Because if you have not shared, my pastor, if you have not shared corruptible things, you cannot share spiritual substances. So land. Land. Everybody say land. Say ile. Early church used Holy Ghost love to make nonsense of land. They make nonsense of land. You know how land is weighty. You know how land is. They were selling land to feed brethren. That is Holy Ghost. Take me to Acts chapter 4. Are you with me? So charity is always the peak of any light. It's the peak. And that is where you come into dominion. And I understood why they had to deal with Ananias and Sapphira. They had to push them away. These guys have raised the standard. Can we say amen? Start from verse 32. Are you with me? And the multitude of them that believed, look at that, multitude of them that believed. So they believed the same doctrine. Now, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, and they what? They continued servants in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So you can see they didn't separate the two. The word fellowship, the Greek word is koinonia. Eh? Communion. Common union. So we judge doctrine strength not by knowledge alone, by union of brethren. The strength of doctrine should knit heart. Knitting of heart. And they continue service in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And fellowship. And fellowship. Comma. So the two went together. So the measurement of doctrine is the demonstration of fellowship. Fellowship is not just gisting. Fellowship is communion. It's integrating people into one. You know, if you are going to have a building like this, it takes debt to have a building. What do I mean by that? Blocks are cemented into a building. It means they lose identity. Can you see any one block here? You can't see any block. Well, what we have is a building. So, when brethren are being knitted together, it's a death process that knits people together. Because until we are knitted, we can't form an habitation. We cannot form a abode that presence can dwell. So, as at Acts chapter 4, they became Holy Ghost Church. How do I know? Chapter 5. Peter said, why do you lie against the Holy Ghost? So the Holy Ghost was domiciled in that church. Conversation of brethren are pulling down. So they became an Holy Ghost church. Acts chapter 4. Can we all say amen? Because at times, you know, we need all this yardstick to judge ourselves. If we are still fighting with corruptible things, we have not entered the charity of Christ. In the charity of Christ, we have moved beyond physical things. We have no problem sharing physical things anymore. Sharing cash, sharing house, sharing land is not a problem. Doing business together, no longer a problem. We don't need Christ's light for that. Holy Ghost is enough. And the multitude of them that believed in what? Apostles' doctrine. This was before Paul came. Because Paul's gospel was the gospel of Christ. He called it my gospel. But there was a gospel they believed in originally. They heard they have one heart and one soul. So it means that there is oneness in a measure in Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, really? Multitude. Pastor Alfred, I don't know. How many do you think they were at this point? All of them had, they came into. So when we obey the same doctrine, we come into the same oneness. The multitude of them, neither said. Somebody told me, say, Pastor Major, all this you are preaching, it's not possible. Otilok, well, really, church. That is an unbelieving act. No. God does not do something just once and it will go. If it's a technology in God, it can be accessed again. You are not shouting amen. Neither said any of them. So if there were 8,000, neither said one out of 8,000. I can tell you, Pastor Alfred, there couldn't have been less than 8,000 at this point. They were around that range. 8,000 people are died to owning physical things. Neither. None of them said Emimolele. They were stewards of whatever they had. Neither said any of them that. So this is the faith of milk. Walking. So faith of milk is not to get things. It's to purge you from the corruptible. Faith in milk is supposed to separate you from confidence in the natural. Words of this life. So faith in milk deals with the physical. Physical dimension of flesh. Then Christ deals with spiritual dimension of flesh. Because there is flesh that is spiritual. That's what you need doctrine of Christ to undo. So neither said any of them that heart of these things which he possessed was his own. This is not an easy thing. You know, some of us still struggle with, you understand? You still struggle with clothes. I'm not saying that you should like borrowing your sister's wig. You know, I know. I heard that ladies borrow wig. Why do you want to borrow your sister's wig? Go and plait your hair. You don't have money for wig. I always like my wife when she plaits her hair. I tell her, I say, you look natural. I don't really like wig too much. I'm sorry, this is my opinion. It's not what the Lord says. Because, amen, particularly when it's smelling, amen. So some people like borrowing wig. Borrowing wig. So people, they borrow wig. Then you are finding it difficult to return. Even you said to even borrow the 500,000 lawyer. You know, 500,000 invested in a wig. So you want to borrow that wig. There's something, it's like a power is at work. To release that wig is not easy. Well, you are supposed to use milk to release things. Fetch in the milk, this is what it does. They were releasing land, they had all things in common. Now I'm going somewhere. And with great power, gave the apostles witness and resurrection to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Can we say amen? So this is charity in the Holy Ghost. It's a training, because whatever you find in Christ, you see a measure in it in the Holy Ghost. So anything you see in the word of Christ will not be strange. You have met some of it in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, sir. And anything you meet in the Father is not so, all so strange. You have met a measure in the world of Christ. It is a builder, brethren. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So there's almost nobody that I can't bear with. I'm not boasting. I've lived with people all my life. In hostel, they live with all kinds of people. My hostel, then all kinds of people will come, leave. We'll be like 10 in the room. Oh boy, snoring, sleeping on each other. And I know it was training. It was training because God knew I was going to be a shepherd in the future. And I have to pastor souls and bear them. Can we say amen? When you have lived with people for years, when you meet some people, it's as if you have met their type before. I've met this kind of person before. So I know that God does. God has prepared me for some souls. God already prepares me. I said, God help me. Because I know when I met the former version of this one, Ofojubiri Mabo. And they say, you have to bear this one again. We are trying to train you to love more. Can we shout amen? So they did not lack. I'm just showing you, this is a lower version of charity. Because it's being displayed on natural things, natural possessions. But when we come into the realm of Christ, we are sharing riches of Christ. Riches of Christ. You know, there's a way you can hoard things of Christ. You want to hoard things in the dimension of Christ. When you see Philippians 2, you are seeing a demonstration of Christ. You start taking interest in your brother. You start taking interest in your sister. In the world of Christ, there are certain things that they are not allowed to go. Why? That thing that they spare you a little in the word of God, they will not spare you in the word of the Father. The word of the Father is a word of strict love. Very strict love. May God give you understanding.
Amen.
So look at it. For as many that were possessors of land, these guys, they did something very powerful. Possessors of land and houses, sold them. Not just lands, houses. If you sell land and house and you invest it in business, you'll still be happy. But when you send land and houses and people eat it and what is coming out is poo-poo, you will know that these guys have dealt with the devil. I know that God's servant knows all this by experience. You know, when brethren live with you and all they do is just to feed. I'm telling you, it's like, thank you, they eat your fortune. Oh, oti jogore. Brethren did jogo. Oh man, we suffered warfare in that zone. What are you guys doing? Lilakojo. What are you guys? This does not make sense. But you know what I've seen? God has prospered us. I cannot explain it. Oh, God has blessed us. There was a time the only thing we were doing is just for feed, 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 teeth, everything will go to feeding. Then after a while, God just started opening doors. So I know that God has, that thing was just a training. The physical is just a training to bring into the real riches in the spirit. I know that experientially. Can we say amen? But some of us must cross that veil where you're just spending your money. But it's just going on bread and infrastructure. Bread and infrastructure. Serious bread and infrastructure. So the land, they sold them and brought the price of things that were sold. So at this, and they laid it down at the apostles' feet. Look at it though. And they made distribution. So you now know the problem for Ananias and Sapphira. They could not endure the righteousness of that season. This was righteousness. So it is righteousness that brings you to charity. You will obey righteousness. You end it. Charity is also righteousness. Do you obey charity laws? They are righteousness laws also. And what are they doing? They are making you right. Because you have been wrongly designed. Glory to God. I can hear you say amen. Romans chapter 5. So that church was Holy Ghost church. It was Holy Ghost that took Ananias and Sapphira out. They had to preserve that standard. They had to preserve that standard. They became a temple of the Holy Ghost. So, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, we glory in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And what? Patience. That experience is character. Another translation says character. They forge character out of the fullness of faith. Patience, experience, and experience hope. So, this is like the equation of Christ. It's faith to hope, it climaxes in love. We see it also in 2 Peter chapter 1. And hope maketh not ashamed. Can we say hope maketh not ashamed? Because the love of God is now what? Shared. Our brother, I like what, so they shed love. Meaning they visit the heart with an understanding. So charity is an understanding. It is an understanding. By the hands, by the Holy Ghost given to us. Take me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me look. And beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. So this is the equation of Christ. This is the walking of the way of Christ in the soul. Temperance. I like the word temperance. 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 And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. Godliness. You start looking like God. But godliness to brotherly kindness. So one thing I know is that all of this, understand, they always what they converge. That's how you know somebody that is prospering in a dominion. He will flock. He will flock with people. He will flock with brethren. It is almost a litmus test. There's always a convergence. You can't be godly and you are isolated. So isolation is a sign that you are not prospering in the way. The more you get godly, the more you find grace to flock with brethren. Your heart gets knitty. At times when people are isolating, they are hiding a darkness. They are struggling with parting with a sin. So godliness, brotherly kindness. You cannot say you are getting more godly and you're not getting more brotherly kind. If brethren is irritating you, you are not getting more godly. God said it's good and pleasant when brethren are together. You are saying brethren, Timokbo. So there's a problem. There's a problem with your theology. It means you are not obeying faith. Obedience to faith generates what? It generates these conditions in the heart. Your heart will love to flock. You will see it as, God says it's good and it is pleasant. It's not just good. It is pleasurable. When brethren dwell together in unity. This is God's perspective. When my heart is not geared towards that, it means I'm not obeying the righteousness that should purge my heart from sin. Sin is what scatters the heart. Righteousness gathers the heart. What did I say? So the more gathered I am, the more righteous my soul is becoming. Meaning the more justified I am becoming by faith. Hallelujah! So when you're obeying faith, you will find grace to love. It will be organic. Charity is a response. It's a response to conversations of obedience to commandments of faith. As you yield more to faith commandments, their heart has grace to love. The heart has grace to love. The heart has grace to love. Oh, and to brotherly kindness. Charity. Look at that. So charity is the climax. So it began from faith. It climaxed in charity. Now look at the next thing. Look at verse 8. For if these things be in you, so they must first be in you. So this is a precise aggregation of life. It's a precise aggregate. They must first be in you. So there are works. If this is being you, then they should not be in you. They should what? Abba. So this is the realm of being fervent. So then I say fan it. Fan the, when you want something that is roasting to quickly roast, you now start fanning it. So you are not just supposed to stay in charity. Then I say fan charity. So that's what the Akpala people call ifegbiguno. It is ifegbiguno that now creates a point of entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Can we shout amen? Amen. What ifegbiguno does, fervent charity, it creates a conducive environment for you to be pregnant with the incorruptible seed. Meaning the father can impregnate you. So you can see, what charity does is to give womb for God. Fervent charity gives capacity to conceive. Conceive with incorruptible life. Incorruptible life starts with incorruptible seed, which is the word of God that liveth and abide for it. So this thing is an exact science. So it must first be in you, then it will abound. Can we shout abound? Say it again, no. So when you're obeying these laws, you will feel debt. There are things I have said. When I said it, I knew I could not do it. I will not take this anymore. And after I've said that, something just tells me, you're going to take it. Then I will keep quiet. Say, God, this is serious. That is debt. Because you know that you cannot execute what you said. Your law is constraining you. Particularly when they give you charity as a law. That law constrains you. At times you may have wanted to do something, but have you ever wanted to slap somebody and then your hand just hang? The law constrains you. You wanted to do something, you could not, you may have even begun, you couldn't execute it. You do not have finishing power because there's a law at work. It's constraining you. That is when they are giving you the commandment as a law. When you obey the law, you gain more life. You gain more mastery of life. When the law finishes its work, you cut covenant with a life. It becomes your natural nature. So 1 Corinthians 13, it's not what somebody is doing, it's what somebody is living. Sometimes I wonder how did Paul know this? Because there's no way in the Bible. Then I just thought, I'm sure Paul lived this for a while. Thank you, sir. He lived the thing for a while. He studied how he lived. And said, okay, this is what this thing means. Charity suffered long and is kind. So he began to understand the mechanisms of that world. He lived in that world for a while. So charity is a world in the dominion of Christ. You will live there for a while. You will take the air of charity. The fresh air. You will live in the environment of charity. There are people that live in that world. You will study them. You will live their life. They are kind people. They don't envy. They don't envy. Why they don't envy is that they are children. They have reduced sin in them because sin gives you height. So what war does is to cut stature of sin and convert you to babes. Have you seen little children that envy? It's not possible. It's not part of their frame. So it does not envy. You celebrate with people. You rejoice. You are innocent of evil. It does not vaunt itself. It does not. All these things, they are the expressions of that life. So I believe that Paul lived it for a while. Then he understood it. Then he could understand how the thing works. That's how, in this frame, you can't write it by knowledge. You write this kind of thing by living it. So this is a man that has lived in the world of charity. He knows what it's like. Then he now called it. At the end, 1 Corinthians 13:13, he says, now. This is where Eli said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. So these are landmarks in the world of Christ. But it says, for the greatest. Everybody say the greatest. Actually, what it means is the smallest. So a man of faith is small. A man of hope is smaller. A man of charity is the least. Because in the kingdom of God, the greatest is the least. So this is the least. So faith, hope, charity, they are kind of men. There is a faith man. There is a hope man. The greatest of those three is a charity man. And only a very small somebody that you can just write. They say that one is the greatest. And that man that is the greatest is the least. That is the one that will be born as a babe into the world of the Father. May God visit our communities with fresh understanding of charity. We flourish in charity. We will use charity and grow. And we'll enter into the everlasting kingdom. Can we begin to thank the Lord?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.